You know, this is a time of change. We live in a time of change in this nation and in the world. That it seems every day new inventions are being made, new scientific discoveries are being made, that things are changing. And it seems like they're changing faster than they used to. That you have a new phone, and it used to be you could buy one phone every just forever. You just have one phone in your house and you just leave it there forever. And now you need a new phone every 2 years if you want to make good use of your contract, right? That every 2 years you get the new, better phone, maybe a little bit bigger, a little bit shinier, slightly more curved screen. That things are changing. And some changes are good. Some changes we really appreciate. If you ever have changed your bed sheets, isn't that nice? Just get into bed and, nice, clean sheets. So refreshing. Other changes, maybe you don't appreciate so much. If you ever had to change a diaper, not quite as refreshing. It might be refreshing for the people who are getting their diapers changed, but I have passed that point in my life and have not yet re-entered it. I won't ask if any of you are back into diapers again for the second time. I'm afraid some of you may raise your hand. I don't know. I don't want to know that about you. But changes are happening all around us. You know, a lot of people do fear change, that they're afraid of what will happen when things change, that they like the way that things are. You have a routine that you enjoy, and you don't really want it to be disrupted too much. If you have to change jobs or change to a new city, it can be a little bit scary. A little bit of fear, wondering, what is going to happen? What's going to be demanded of me? How will this affect my life? I think there's a lot of stories in our culture about change that are focused on the fear aspect. The fear of transformation. The fear of things becoming different. For instance, werewolves. An ordinary man, except when a full moon comes out, becomes a monster. Or Decepticons, evil transformers that disguise themselves as everyday items. Throw out your fax machine, people. You probably don't need it anyways. But it could be a Decepticon coming to get you. Or teenagers going through puberty and becoming adults. It's just scary stuff. You don't want to have to deal with it. Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. I think that might be the story of a teenager. When the worst comes out in man. That change is often to be feared, and yet the Bible, and today's passage in particular, is a book of change. A passage looking at how we as Christians should be changed, and how being a Christian should change us. Looking at Colossians chapter 3, we're going to look at verses 1 through 11. If you've been following along with us in the past weeks, a couple of weeks ago we talked about the supremacy of Christ, about Christ's role in our salvation, how everything we have comes back to the work of Christ, how He fills the hole in our life. And last week we talked about the negative side of it, focusing on the problems of judging others according to man-made rules, having our own requirements for the faith. Today we see the positive side, the change that God does call us to make in our life. And that's where it picks up here in chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now, you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, Since you have taken off your old self with his practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here, there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. This is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we ask that you would open our hearts today, that we would hear from you, that we would come to understand this passage better and what it calls us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here, Paul speaks of the changes that are demanded of Christians. What changes we as Christians we are called to make? And the first is that, as a Christian, you must change your mind. As a Christian, you must change your mind. Not only is that my first point that you can fill in the blank on it, but it is an action point. Something that we are called to do, not because I say so, but because the passage says so. And in verse 2, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. As Christians, we are called to change our mind, to change our way of thinking. In life, there are many times when we change our minds about things. Maybe you change your mind about how you view your parents. That as a small child, you saw them as people who simply set the rules for you, and maybe you didn't agree with a lot of what they did. And as you grew older, you may have had times when you agreed more and more with your parents and understood more where they were coming from. Maybe sometimes it swung the other way, that as they gave you advice for life, you would tend to reject it and say, you don't know. That was fine for your generation, but come on, times are different now. Hopefully, you had the type of parents and your own wisdom brought you to the point where you appreciate them, that you see the wisdom that they had, that as you experience more of life, you understand more of how they acted when you were younger. We are called to change our minds in many things. But most importantly is this, that as Christians, we set our minds not on the things of this world, but on the things above. That we are not people distracted by what is right in front of us, as distracting as it is. That the cares of this life would not pull our hearts and minds away from what is most important. It's an easy thing to have happen because the immediate things of this world occupy our senses. They occupy our attention. They draw us away so easily. It's easy to spend our time thinking, oh, what should I make for lunch? Did I get gas in the car? What's going on tomorrow? What are the kids doing this week? And to lose sight of the more important things, the things above. How is it shaping me for eternity? How am I caring for the souls of these people? How am I helping my children grow in their knowledge of Christ? As Christians, we must put away those distractions. With the last couple of days, or I guess actually yesterday, started, my wife and daughter were gone, and so I had my house to myself. At first it was nice, like, nothing to do. Just relax, hang out, take it easy. And as it got later into the evening, my house became more and more of a distraction to me. I started thinking, this house is kind of big and empty. And I don't remember these sounds. Normally, literally all I can hear in my house is my daughter running around. Maybe that's not quite true. It seems like it is. But with no one else in the house, all the little sounds start to come out. Little things distracting me. What was that sound? Did someone just say something? What is going on here? And even the familiar became a distraction to me. As Christians, we are called not to focus on these little things, which ultimately, no sound that happened at my house yesterday mattered at all to me. I could have ignored all of them completely. completely safely. As Christians, we are too often distracted by that type of thing. That we are called to change our minds, to ask ourselves if we are focused on the right things. If you find yourself focused on your work, on your job, on earning money, on just completing the tasks assigned to you, are you neglecting the other side of are you serving God's purpose in the workplace? Are you doing your best to proclaim His name and to make Him known? We set our minds on things above because they are the eternal things. Because we know that, as verse 4 says, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then we will also appear with Him in glory. That glory waits for us. It can be difficult to make large changes in our thinking, but that is what we are called to do, to change our minds about everything in this world, to see it for what it is, something that will fade away, to set plans for ourselves not for a year or 5 years or 10, but for 10,000 years. When we are in glory, will the things that we are doing today have mattered? Will they have had an impact? Are we focusing on the right things? We are called to change our minds. As Christians, we must change our minds and focus on the correct things, the things above. But we must also change your life. You must change your life. That's what it says here in verse 5 and following. Putting to death the sinful things. And in verse 7, you used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these. As Christians, we are called on to change our lives. If you proclaim to know Christ, you must change your life. This deals directly with sin, with the things that you let live inside of you. There are many events in this world that we consider life-changing events, that if they happen to you, if people know they're coming or afterwards, people will say, oh, that will change your life. Your life will never be the same. Maybe it's having a child. That'll change your life. Your life will never be the same once you have a kid. Maybe it's an accident that happens. Oh, that'll change your life. You'll never walk the same way again. Maybe it's accidentally having a child. That'll change your life. Maybe it's facing sickness. Things that will change your life. At the top of the list of things that change your life should be coming to know Christ. That as the people of this world hear you say, I've started going to church and you know what? Now I'm a Christian. Their response should be, wow, that will change your life. Too often we miss the type of life change that would elicit that response from those outside the church. But we are called to change our lives as Christians, that we are to turn away from sin. He lists a variety of sins here: sexual immorality, impurity, and lust, which all deal with the same aspects of life, evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. And then in verse 8, anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language. That these things can consume Christians and prevent them from living the life God calls them to. When you read a list like this, it's easy to kind of shrug off many of the items. Especially if you've been in the church for a while, it's easy to think, yeah, I know, I'm doing a pretty good job with that. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, greed, I think I'm okay. But I want you to take a look at these things. Look at what you may be allowing to live within you and ask yourself, what needs to die in me that I can change my life? What evil desires do you still let live within you? Where does greed show its face? Where do you desire more for yourself? Where do you seek your own good instead of the good of others? Where do you let malice live within you? Are you bitter? Do you judge others? Maybe last week's message touched you that you realized, yes, I have set for myself goals that I think others need to follow. That I've made my own list of what I think it means to be a good Christian, and if people don't check off my boxes, then I get upset with them. I hold malice against them. I'm angry with them because they're not living their life the way I think they should. If you are to change your life, you must ask yourself, what needs to die within me? What needs to be put to death that Christ can live through me? As Christians, we must change our mind, change what we are focused on, focus on the things above. We must change our life, putting to death the sinful things that keep us from following Christ. And we must also change ourselves. You must change yourself. That's what it says here in verse 10. You have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free. But Christ is all and is in all. As Christians, we must change ourselves. When I think of this idea, I think of those people who are famous for the changes they make, for changing their clothes, in fact. And I'm talking specifically about superheroes. You thought I was going to say women, didn't you? You guys are all sexist. No, superheroes, who by day seem to be just normal people going about their routine. But when an emergency happens, when danger comes, when someone needs to be stopped, they change into their spandex, and they go off and fight crime. Superman was famous for this, right? Changing in a phone booth. Now people just have cell phones, so I imagine that he borrows their phone real quick, spins around a few times in cape and shorts. That they change into the hero that they really are. That before they fight crime, you don't see Bruce Wayne, businessman, walk around and stopping criminals by himself. But once he puts on the cape and the cowl, then he can strike fear into the hearts of criminals. I am the knight. Right? That he has changed and he's living out that new life, that new self. That as Christians we are called to do the same thing, that we are putting on a new self. One of my favorite stories about Batman is a time when one of the villains he fights has started to brainwash people around town, and they've got Bruce Wayne. And they've put a little chip secretly on him to speak to him throughout the day. And so wherever he goes, he hears, Bruce, do this. Bruce, go do that. Bruce, Bruce, Bruce. And with the help of his friends, Bruce Wayne, Batman, is able to find the source of this and to stop it. And where everyone else was led astray by these little transmitters, Batman was not. Bruce Wayne did not fall for it. He could resist it. And when asked why, he said, well, I don't call myself Bruce. I call myself Batman. As they say on the internet, always be yourself. Unless you can be Batman, then be Batman. As Christians, Paul says, do not be yourself. Be like Christ. Then the temptations that come about of your earthly nature should no longer tempt you. Then when I am being tempted, Andrew, go do this. Andrew, go look over here. Andrew. It should not be a draw on me because that was my old self. And my new self is in Christ. Can you say, I'm no longer tempted by these things because I am not who I used to be? That I no longer call myself Andrew, but I call myself a Christian. That I am one who has put on the new self and who lives according to that. I think it's important that Paul ends here in verse 11, speaking of unity. There's no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free. But Christ is all and is in all. As we have done away with our old self and put on our new self, it brings about unity because we are each called by the same name. The differences that stood between us are merely the things of earth. The eternal things, what we set our minds on, what we set our hearts on, what changes us is the new self. A new self marked by Christ. That Christ is all. That He is the root of our salvation. He is the root of the change that happens in our life. But through His work, we are able to just be in the presence of God. And that He is in all. That we have unity because we know that the same one who lives in me lives in you. We are united. We have changed ourselves. And we are one. As you go through this week, look at the changes that have happened in your life since you became a Christian. And think of the changes that you still need to make. Are you focusing on the things of this world? Are you focusing your attention on what may be right in front of you and yet distracts you from the eternal? Or are you focusing on the things above? Do you act in light of eternity? Have you changed your mind? And have you changed your life, the way you live? Have you put aside sin? Or have you become complacent? Have you let live within you the fulfillment of the desires of the flesh? Evil desires that well up within you, malice and greed. What needs to die within you so that Christ may live? So that this new self can live, knowing that Christ is all and in all. How are you being changed? Let us pray. Oh God, we know that we cannot make these changes on our own. That it is only because of the work of Christ. That it is only because the Holy Spirit dwells within us and works on us that we can make these changes. So we cry out, dwell within us. Make us into what you want us to be. Give us unity, knowing that we are rooted not in our own works, not in the troubles we've had or the past we may have lived, but in our new self, in Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.